Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to continue with what you didn't get to hear last night. And then we're going to tell you what's been happening with the Constitution Party. There's been an attempt to take over. Many of you, without even knowing it, have been defrauded of your money. And tonight you're going to find out how, why, and who apparently is doing this. So, don't go away. I'll be right back, and you don't want to miss one single moment of tonight's broadcast.
There's a war between the rich and poor, a war between the man and the woman. There is a war in the one who cares. But don't you come on back to the war. But don't you come on back to the war. With a woman and a child, the situation makes me kind of nervous. Yes, I rise up on her arm. She says, I guess you call it love. I call it room service. But don't you come back to the war. What don't you come back?
Yes, folks, there is a war. A lot of you don't understand it, and you don't have the slightest idea how to figure out which side you're on or which side everybody else is on. Especially those who you have a tradition of looking to for leadership. You don't understand the Hegelian dialectic. You don't understand at all. Now, remember, what you're going to hear is a continuation of last night. We skipped all the Linda Thompson stuff because it referred to Lieutenant Colonel Greitz's comments about Linda Thompson. And Linda Thompson had been on a couple of nights before I did this broadcast. And she talked about what really happened and played actual tapes of her talk so that you could see just exactly how Bobo had lied about her. But you didn't get to hear that tape, so we skipped the Linda Thompson part. Now remember, I'm reading directly from Bobo Gritt's newsletter. Also, folks, if he's not a Freemason, if he's not connected with the mysteries, why is the symbol of his spike training an obelisk, the phallus of Osiris? And don't fool yourself. It's not a knife. It's disguised that way, but it is an obelisk. And if you have eyes and you can see, take a good look at it. So here we go, where we left off last night. Listen very carefully. And even though you think you may have heard some of this already, listen to it carefully again. Because there are some things here that are going to blow your mind. The man changes his beliefs, his loyalties, his religion, and everything else. Just like you change your socks every morning.
He says he ran for president to bear witness of the divinity of the Constitution. Well, that's funny. If you cared about the divinity of the Constitution, why, in the election before last, were you running with David Duke, who doesn't know anything about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, was the head of the Ku Klux Klan. The Ku Klux Klan. An organization responsible for many illegal acts, which takes away rights and freedoms from people and has murdered people. Why were you his vice presidential running mate if you care so much for the Constitution? He goes on to say, Christ has said in Matthew 7:16-20, ye shall know them by their fruits. And Bobo Gritz, nothing could be closer to the truth. He says, none of these quests have netted me more than criticism and defamation by the controlled media. What have either Cooper or his confederate Thompson done? Folks, you can answer that. I don't even have to tell you. Other than ride on the shoulders of those who have braved adversity. Those of you who know me know that I've never ridden on the shoulders of anyone, period. He goes on to say, Thompson and Cooper seem to be just two more patriots for profit that leap aboard any convenient issue that will give them a free ride to the next watering hole. Like parasites, they nibble off the fruit produced by others. Through Spike, we seek to prepare and equip you at a fraction of the cost covered by commercial vendors. Cooper and Thompson only seek to sell you their wares in lieu of any real service. You are certainly free to choose who you would have for a family in time of crisis. That's true, folks. You are. And I would advise you to choose very carefully. He goes on to say, I'm reminded of Lars Hansen's short 1980... Listen to this carefully, folks, because I'm going to play you some tapes in a few minutes. He says, I'm reminded of Lars Hansen's short 1989 JFK clip that Cooper sold for $30 a copy. Another lie. When Lars brought it to me and wanted me to take it to H. Ross Perot for funding into a major project. He says he balked. There was Lars's voice on the many-time-copied Poor Generation video, which he had secured from JFK expert Robert Groden. Another lie. In fact, Lars Hansen stole it from a researcher in Santa Barbara, California, and tried to sell it to foreign journalists. He ended up giving a copy to John Lear, who gave me a copy. Later, Lars Hansen came to help us as a volunteer in my November the 5th Hollywood High School presentation in Hollywood, California. He was actually on my staff as a volunteer. He gave us the copy that we used in the presentation there, and Lars Hansen was one of the video cameramen. He admits that in his screwed up thing that he wrote called the affidavit, and that one admission negates everything else that he wrote. He goes on to say, Lars had enlarged the part where Kennedy's head explodes, slowed the action down, and played it over and over while he narrated what he wanted the viewer to see. It was convincing. Lars points out that the limo driver, William Greer, turns and with a chrome .45 automatic held in his left hand, looks back and kills the president. It happens time and time again. The only thing missing is logic, common sense, and my, meaning his, experience factor. The day Kennedy was killed, I was a special forces captain in the unconventional warfare department at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, teaching assassinations and guerrilla warfare. And by the way, folks, Greitz has confessed to assassinating at least three people.
Also, folks, the assassination school where he taught has become infamous. It is known as the School of the Americas. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you do some research and find out that this man is part of one of the most despicable organizations that's ever existed upon the face of this earth.
And you wanted to make him president. Teaching assassinations and guerrilla warfare. No question, Oswald was a dupe. The real shooters, I believe, were part of a CIA team put together outside of Mexico City to kill Castro. Don't look for the CIA documents released on 24 August to indict the agency. It just didn't make sense to have the driver shoot the president when he would have to maintain control over the vehicle. He did, initially, slow down instead of speed up, as he was trained to do. I told Lars it just didn't work. But
now, folks, notice that right from the beginning, he claims that he didn't buy any of it. And that he told Lars Hansen it didn't work. It didn't make sense for the driver to shoot the president. This is very important because you're going to hear him contradict his own statement 100% in just a few moments.
But there was this bright object in Kennedy's head coming apart. Lars dutifully went back to Groden and learned the truth. The bright spot is actually a reflection off of Roy Kellerman's hair as he raises up from the right front car seat just as JFK is hit from the right front by a bullet. Those of you who have seen the real Zapruder film, and you can get it from us folks, knows that it is not a reflection on Roy Kellerman's head or hair, and most of it is not even on his head, but quite a bit above it. And if you want to know what it really is, get the video and look at it. I wouldn't deign to tell you what it is.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the videotape that I was talking about there is an original. Now, listen to me carefully. It has an original 35-millimeter copy of the original Zapruder film. I paid $16,000 for this copy, and it took me a lot of years to find it. It is the best copy in existence that you can get your hands on. You cannot find a copy of this tape anywhere. Period. It is in brilliant color. It is crystal clear. There are no frames missing. It also includes all the footage of Dealey Plaza that you've never seen. It is, in fact, an outdoor temple of the sun, of the mysteries. It is on the site of the first fraternal lodge in the state of Texas. Elm Street represents the grove. Kennedy was the sacrificed king in the temple of the sun at local apparent noon. When the sun was in his father's temple at the Most High. Remember the Lion King? When the bad brother, representing Cain, was going to sacrifice the young lion, he placed him on a rock in the bright sunlight under a tree. You have to understand these things, folks. John F. Kennedy was killed by the Brotherhood. Robert Groden lied in his report to Congress. He did testify to Congress. You see, you don't have to get up and sit in a chair to testify to Congress. Robert Groden prepared a special report on the Zapruder film, which was given to the House Select Committee on Assassinations. He did, in fact, testify. He did, in fact, lie. He did not tell the committee that the Zapruder film had been altered. Nope, he's never told the American public that. In fact, you've never heard it yet until I revealed that fact. And you can see it in the real Zapruder film with no frames missing. If you want a copy of it, folks, it's going to cost you $40 post-paid. And I will never sell enough copies to get my $16,000 back.
A closer to the original generation video clearly shows the sun reflect off Kellerman's head. The problem is that Bill Cooper had told everyone that he read in his stolen secret documents that Greer killed the president. He was selling the tape and making a living off speaking on the subject. For Cooper, it was easy. He would just keep on telling people it was the driver and using the old blurred tape. That, again, folks, is a complete and total lie. He goes on to say, Bob Groden even gave me clear stills of the frames that unmistakably show Kellerman's hair as the bright spot. Cooper only became outraged and tried to protect his profitable position. Linda's tape may be the same. I am convinced that the FBI started the fire after pumping in volumes of CS gas. It sounds exactly like what they had planned for Weaver and his children. The CS gas dispersant is a perfect dust initiator for fire and explosion. I'm not convinced that the BATF agent killed his own from the roof and that the light coming from the armored vehicle is actually residual fire from a flamethrower. I see no threat from black helicopters. I have not been able to confirm a single secret prison camp, even though people say they know the exact location, and I am willing to fly over the areas with cameras. It is my opinion that converted military bases will serve as prisons, and that is about the only thing that I agree with Bobo Gritz on in that entire document. Now listen very closely, ladies and gentlemen, and you will hear the truth.
Okay, back with my guest Bill Cooper, who's calling in from Fullerton, right? That's where you're from, right? Fullerton?
Right, Bill.
And Bo Gritz in studio, and let's go to North Hollywood, California, and talk with Cheston. I guess his name... Is that your name, Cheston?
No, it's Chris.
Chris, okay, I'm sorry. And, Chris, what's your question tonight?
I heard an answer to a question about why this film isn't being available.
What do you mean?
It's being made available. I don't know if I understood the answer.
I don't remember the question. Maybe, Bill, why isn't the film being made available? Are you referring to the film about the Kennedy assassination?
Yes.
Okay. Why isn't that film being made available, Bill?
Well, Billy, the only copy that I have, when I have attempted to make copies for other people just to give to them, the copies, I guess the one that I have is like a third or fourth generation.
Right.
When I try to make a copy, it comes out much poorer than the one that I have, and it's, some of the features then become indistinguishable.
Right.
Also, there's a question of copyright, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly who owns copyright or what. I think that the film is of such national interest to the American people that I don't think that should have anything to do with it, but unfortunately it does.
And why does it if you don't think it does?
I don't know if we can without getting ourselves thrown in jail.
Well, you don't even know who exactly right it is.
Well, let me help you guys out a little bit. I'm a substitute school teacher here in Las Vegas, and last year at the Kennedy assassination anniversary, for 1 week, I taught a class in one of the better high schools here, an honors government class, about 200 students on who killed JFK, and I showed them documentation for the first 4 days. Then I, on Friday, had them each write me a paper, about 200 students, on who they thought killed JFK, and then I showed them the film. I have the film. I know the man that made it, and if you want it, you can call me at 1-800-634-3494. And send me $10 because that's probably what it'll cost me to copy it. And you got it, Paige.
Okay.
It does show the driver turning.
Now,
it does show him shooting. It shows Kennedy's head being snapped back. I'm an expert. I've been a Green Beret commander for 30 years. I've worked within the intelligence community. I think it's public record.
Who's speaking?
This is Bo Grice.
Mr. Grice.
Yes.
Mr. Cooper, is this the film that was shown at the lake last week?
Yes.
A couple weeks ago?
I can answer that question. Yes, it's the very same film. Yes.
All right. Now, if I contact you, you'll make that film third or fourth generation, whatever.
Yeah, you've got to contact Bo. You can contact Mr. Cooper if you want, but if you want to contact me, we've got a thing called a Center for Action. We're tired of talking. We're going to start doing. And I've given you a 1-800 number. You can write me. I'll give you my address, and you'll get a copy. How's that sound, Mike? Have you, Chris?
Yes.
How's that sound?
Well, that sounds good. I have one more question.
Did you get the toll-free number?
Yes.
Very good. Okay.
The question is, there was some discussion about the UFOs at the lake also.
Right. What about it?
Would you give...
And, folks, there you have part of the truth of that, and just so that you understand all of the truth of it, listen to this. And I've got a little problem here. Okay. Here we go, right now.
Hey, what's going on tonight?
Yeah, I just want to talk a couple of seconds about the Zapruder tape.
Okay, go.
Yeah. I noticed, I may be wrong, but the passenger, the other Secret Service man, Kellerman, on the passenger side, seems to be looking at the rear view, at the small rear view mirror, just as Kennedy gets the next shot, and up until the headshot, and he doesn't even budge. He's looking right at the mirror, at the rear view mirror, and I find that interesting. We've got several films that we have studied very closely, and the passenger is definitely watching in the rear view mirror on the passenger side. After the throat shot, you can see him turn around, look at Kennedy, then he passes something to the driver, leans forward, he takes the wheel with his hand, the car comes almost to a stop, William Greer turns around, shoots Kennedy in the head over his right shoulder, turns around, both men hunch down, and the car speeds away.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to ask the gentleman, Bo, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to put away for that tape. It's $10, correct?
Well, yes, I've got the tape, and I know that it's probably going to cost me $10 to make it and send it to you. You send me $10, and you got it.
How long is that tape? Approximately.
It's the Zapruder tape, and Bill has already mentioned. What you see normally on television is a normally run tape that cuts off before you actually focus. And what we did with the Zapruder tape is that we blew it up, we slowed it down, and we played it completely through
multiple times so that when you see the driver, just as Bill has said, not with his right hand, which had been extended so everyone could have seen it. This is what I do best. I'm trained in this. An assassin doesn't do that. The assassin took his left hand, turned so that he completely guarded and blocked it with his whole body, and blew Kennedy's head off, literally. And as you know, look at what Jacqueline is doing. Mm-hmm. Jacqueline, I've been in combat in Vietnam for 5 years, in Central America, in Africa, in Asia, all over the place, and I know this. You don't run toward the firing. You run away from the firing, and Jacqueline Kennedy was trying to get her fanny out of that car and away from what happened to her husband.
Of course, all the bystanders on the street were focused on Kennedy, not the Secret Service men in the car, correct?
And that's exactly what happens with the Zapruder tape. When you see it on television, everybody's watching the president,
right?
And then they cut the thing off before you can actually see the driver turn and fire. And then the car, and what would you do? If you were going to shoot someone, you would naturally take your foot off the accelerator. And what better person to have as an assassin? You wouldn't have the shotgun man who's sitting there that everyone would see. No one would suspect the driver. He turns, he does his job, and then, of course, he puts his foot back in the foot.
Who are all these supposedly shooters from the grassy knoll? Not to mention elsewhere.
Well, I hope that all of you understand what you just heard. You see, Bobo Gritz changes his religion, his loyalties, and his story just as often as the change in the weather. And, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, I, for one, certainly do not stand for this kind of thing.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, when Bobo Gritz was in Central America, he was the commander of what was called Operation Watchtower. Now, if you've ever researched drugs coming into the United States, you know Operation Watchtower was the covert operation to provide security for the drug operation and the drug planes, leaving the United States with arms to trade for drugs to sell for money. Ask him about it sometime. He doesn't like to talk about it, and he doesn't like to be asked about it. But it is the truth. And there's much, 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 much more, but I just, frankly, don't have the time, ladies and gentlemen. I've got other things to be doing. Now, back in 1994, a man named Aaron Russo decided to do something really good. He sat down and tried to figure out what was wrong with the country, and what was wrong with us. He decided that what was wrong with the country is that we are not conforming to the Constitution, nor do we have the constitutional form of republican government that is guaranteed to us. We, in fact, have a government that's run amok, that's breaking the law, that is oppressing people, ruining lives, destroying families, businesses, people, causing suicides, you name it. And what's wrong with the people? They've forgotten their origin. They've forgotten the founding principles and ideals upon which this country was based. They forgot that we do have a common bond, and that common bond is liberty. We're all being lied to and manipulated against each other. It's the old Hegelian dialectic of divide and conquer. So, Aaron contacted a whole bunch of whom he felt were good people that believed as he believed and had demonstrated it and could prove it. And all of us became the founders of the Constitution Party. And here's what we believe. We, the founders of the Constitution Party, hold that our federal government has consistently violated the Constitution of the United States. The Founding Fathers designed the United States government to serve us, the people. It was not designed so that we, the people, would serve government. We no longer wish to see Americans dependent upon or enslaved by government. Generations of Republican and Democratic administrations have made it abundantly clear that they are incapable of managing the nation's affairs competently, justly, or even legally. The Constitution Party is dedicated to ensuring the unalienable right of every American to life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness by defending the Constitution of the United States and making certain that it stays the law of the land. The Constitution Party holds that no one has the right to dictate to anyone else how to live. It further believes that no one holds the higher moral authority to compel anyone else to behave in a particular way. The Constitution Party maintains that each individual has the right to behave according to his or her self-determined moral principles, provided the pursuit of these principles causes no physical harm to any other person or his property. The Constitution Party believes that if there is no victim, there is no crime. The Constitution Party believes that no entity, including a majority of voters or citizens, may take away or violate the rights of an individual. Accordingly, the Constitution Party calls for a reordering of national priorities. We aim to restore the right of all 50 states to be free from federal interference so that they can self-govern, and for every individual American to be a sovereign citizen. Our goal is to create a truly free country where people will learn to be responsible for their own welfare. Upon achieving this goal, productivity will flower, causing business to prosper, thereby creating an atmosphere of abundance, tolerance, and compassion. The Constitution Party believes that we are at the beginning of a movement toward individual freedoms as our forefathers planned. We believe that people have had enough of the taxes and the intimidating tactics of an out-of-control, unaccountable government which has lost sight of its role as our servant. We believe it is time again to make the government accountable to us, the American people, and to restore our personal freedoms, which have been slowly but systematically taken from us. We believe that if we as a people fail to act, the course on which the ship of state is currently set is clear: a bankrupt, socialist, police state. To all Americans who want to keep their rights, whether it be the right to speak your mind, the right to keep the money you earn, the right to use your property as you wish, the right to have a gun for the defense of your family or to hunt, the right to engage in non-coercive behavior, the right to practice or refrain from practicing any religion, the right to choose a doctor or the medicine of your choice, the right to end your life or the right to begin a life. These are your personal choices, not the federal government's. To all Americans who feel alienated from the politics of our system and are tired of being treated like juveniles, we understand your frustration and your desire for change. Come join us. No matter who you are or what you do, come and join us. It's not whether you are on the left or the right, liberal or conservative. It's only our individual rights that matter. Does the government fear us, or do we fear the government? When the people fear the government, tyranny has found victory. The federal government is our servant, not our master. Thomas Jefferson said that. And Thomas Jefferson always also said this: a wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back with the rest of the story.
If a firearm is loaded, everybody rolls to the fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys are lost. Everybody knows that the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the fool sleeps in a grass. Like a father or a dog just died. Everybody popped into the hospital. with everybody I want. The box of chocolates and the bounced emeralds. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. You love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. And everybody knows that you've been faithful before. Maybe two. Everybody knows that you've been this good. But there were so many people you just had to leave out your clothes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. If it were not for Craig Smith and Swiss America Trading, you would not be hearing this broadcast. And believe me, it doesn't do them a whole lot of good to back this program, except that they know that the message delivered through this medium is the only one that's really going to open your eyes. You see, we don't tell you one thing one week and 2 weeks later tell you something else. No, our message is consistent. It is pure. It is an education. We challenge you to prove us wrong. If you can, I'll go on the air. And I'll correct it because we want to be right. Remember, we're not doing this for ratings. We're doing it to try to save liberty. Protect and save liberty. Liberty is our common bond. Real money is the only kind of money that can endure. We're not using that now. In fact, if someone were to ask me to prove to them that the Constitution for the United States of America is not in effect at this time, and in fact has been subverted and thrown in the trash can or flushed down the toilet, however you want to term it, I would ask them, what does the Constitution say about money? And who is empowered to coin money? And what does it mean by coin? And what does it say that states have to pay their debts with? Well, folks, it's easy. Gold or silver coin. And in the law, which has never been changed, it specifically states that the money of the United States of America is a specific weight in measurement and purity of silver coin or an equivalent value of gold coin, the unit of measurement of which shall be expressed by the term a dollar. Now, none of those things have ever been changed. There's been no amendment to the Constitution. The law has not been changed. So what has happened? If you want some of those answers, you can still order the last issue of Veritas, which was our special money and finance issue. I think we still have a few copies laying around, not many. Or you can call Swiss America Trading, and I advise you to do that anyway, because that's the only way you're going to get your hands on some real money. The only way that I can recommend. They have a buyback policy. They guarantee what they do, and I guarantee them. So call now, 1-800-289-2646. Also, ask for the current newsletter. It's a good one. All their newsletters are good ones. It's 1-800-289-2646. Ask them how you can get your hands on some real money. And while you're at it, thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. You owe them that. And tell them that you're a steady listener. and you'll get VIP treatment. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, folks. You'll be glad that you did.
For your written and everybody knows. Everybody knows that the dream.
Well, as you know, the Constitution Party came into existence in 1994. I just read you our platform. It's a platform that appeals to any American, especially any American who really understands and loves liberty. There's a movement afoot to destroy this party, and I'm going to tell you all about it right now. Now, if any of those involved want to sue me for this broadcast, you better get your little butts in action, because I'm going to push this to the wall. You're crooks. Simple. Pure and simple. What you've done is illegal and unlawful. When the people out there hear what you're doing and how you've conned them into donating money, thinking that they're donating to the Constitution Party founded by Aaron Russo, when in fact they're not, they're liable to have bad thoughts on their mind. Whatever those bad thoughts are, I encourage them to restrain themselves and let the legal system handle this. Because it will, I guarantee you. On April the 27th, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Russo resigned. And this is the letter that he sent to me. Dear Bill, this will serve as my resignation as chairman of the party and board of directors and from all other offices of the Constitution Party, effective immediately. Sincerely, Aaron Russo. Aaron had talked this over with me for some time. He wanted me to be the chairman of the board of the Constitution Party, and I really didn't want the job. I was up to my you-know-what in alligators, as I am all the time, and it's just another burden on me. In accordance with my traditional history, however, when nobody else will do the job, I usually take it upon my shoulders, because I have long ago determined that I'm going to serve my country in any and every way that I possibly can. You see, it's the only way I can determine that there will be a good, clear future for my daughter and for my other children. And I want them to have a good future, living in liberty. So I accept it. Now, before that, long before that, I had been asked to do certain tasks for the Constitution Party, and had accepted and served as its president for a period of time. I have never accepted one single cent, not one penny, not one dollar, not one hotel room, not one gallon of gas, not one meal from the Constitution Party ever. Because I knew if I ever did, somebody would accuse me of misappropriating funds. So when I traveled to California to confer with the chairman of the board, Aaron Russo, and the other officers of the party on occasion, I paid for the transportation myself. I paid for my own hotel room, and except for one meal that Aaron Russo bought me, was baby back ribs, and I enjoyed it immensely. He paid for it out of his own pocket, not out of the Constitutional Party fund, as a friend, which we are. Except for that one meal, I have paid for every single meal that I have ever eaten in the performance of my duties with the Constitution Party, and I paid for all of my return trips home. When we became involved with the Constitutionist Networking Center to meet with the other third parties and the other large political groups in Kansas City to try to eke out a coalition so that we could have the power to elect a constitutionally committed president and vice president to the White House in 1996, I paid for all my transportation and expenses and hotel rooms and meals and everything else, and even donated out of my own pocket to make CURE become a reality. I made, in all, 3 trips to Kansas City. Out of pocket, ladies and gentlemen, all the work that I have done for the Constitution Party has cost me personally over $6,000, which I will never, never see again. The meeting that was held in Los Angeles, the hotel meeting room, the ballroom that the Constitution Party met in Los Angeles, was paid for by me out of my own pocket, not by the Constitution Party. I have all the receipts, canceled checks, everything else to prove this. Paid by me. My transportation was paid by me. My hotel room was paid by me. And all my meals were paid by me. Isn't it strange? Isn't it strange? Also, when Aaron resigned, there was a caucus held on May 24th in Venice, during which the new following temporary officers for the Constitution Party of California were elected. Now, I'm reading this directly out of the letter which was sent to Mr. Bill Jones, the Secretary of State of the state of California, as is required by law. A caucus was held on May 24, 1995, in Venice, during which the new following temporary officers for the Constitution Party of California were elected. Notice the word temporary. And it lists the president, treasurer, vice president, and secretary. The previous temporary officers have resigned our post. Sincerely, Jeffrey Turk. Now, the reason that they were temporary, ladies and gentlemen, is because we are just forming the party. We are just forming the board of directors. The board of directors has to conform to the bylaws. All officers have always been temporary until we can complete formation of a good, solid board of directors, which is very difficult because most people don't want to serve in these positions. And I've asked many people. Some of the best people in the Constitution Party have been asked and have refused. Not because of anything other than they believe it would be too much of a demand upon their time. And I'm not going to name them because I don't want to embarrass them. But what in the world do you think it is on my time, ladies and gentlemen? What do you think it was on Aaron's time, who, by the way, spent over probably $25,000 of his own money, which he will never see again in his lifetime, I can assure you. I am in the process, and I'm still looking, and I've said this before, and when I said it before, guess what? I didn't get any letters offering to fill any positions on the board of directors or anywhere else. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that somebody is going to always do something for you all the time, there will always be suckers like me and Aaron Russo and many other good people in this world who will do a part of the job, but we can't do it all by ourselves. So somebody out there is going to have to volunteer to fill some of these positions that we need to be filled. And by the way, the temporary officers might turn out to be president if they do a good job. But that's not up to me alone. It will be up to the entire board of directors. Now, right after being appointed, I began to call Aaron and try to get the records. During this period of time, Karen Scarborough was calling me and accusing Aaron of misappropriating funds, mishandling funds, and outright theft. I told her I thought she was way off base, and she complained that she wasn't getting her reimbursement for her expenses on behalf of the party in a timely manner. I asked her how long it was taking her to get her expenses, and she said, around 2 weeks. Well, folks, I've worked for a lot of corporations and a lot of companies in my time, and I can't answer for Aaron why it took 2 weeks, but I can tell you this. In every instance that I ever had an expense account or made expenditures out of my own pocket in any company or any corporation, I had to fill out an expense report. I had to ask for reimbursement. I had to justify each expense. I had to provide original receipts. And I didn't get reimbursement for a month, and sometimes longer. So 2 weeks is really quick. I also found out that Karen Scarborough was not providing original receipts, and I changed that. I demanded that she send to me original receipts, which she did. I immediately wrote her a check on the Constitution Party account and sent it to her. But I couldn't do it until I got the bank book. I also couldn't do it until the signature card was sent to me so that I could sign it and send it back to the bank. The bank demanded that I provide a Social Security number, which I will not. The law tells me I don't have to, and besides that, I don't even have one. So I had to go around and round with the bank about that, and finally, when I threatened to sue the bank accepted the signature card without the Social Security number, which I knew that they would eventually anyway. There was approximately $1,200 in the bank, and this was sometime in the middle of June when I finally got the bank books and records. I immediately wrote Karen Scarborough a check for $400-something, which at that time was her outstanding expenses. She then began to not accuse Aaron, but accuse me. Now, folks, I couldn't have stolen any funds if I wanted to, because I never had them. I had just received the bank book, the checkbook, and had just got my name on the signature card. And here she was telling me that I'd misappropriated funds, mishandled funds, and all this other crap, bullshit, stupidity, the likes of which I'd never heard. I then called Aaron and asked him about the history of her payment thing, and Aaron told me that he had always paid her, and I checked the bank book, and she had always been paid. She then, immediately after being paid that set of expenses, sent another set. Since she had accused Aaron of misappropriating and stealing funds and now was accusing me, I froze the bank account. In other words, I refused to make any deposits or write any checks until it was determined whether or not anything had been misappropriated, mishandled, stolen, or anything else. And I told Karen this. I also asked Aaron to send me a copy of the bylaws and anything else he might have in his possession that would help me run the party properly. When I received the bylaws, it's all in legalese. It's 20 pages in length. And it took me about 3 weeks of study to even understand what it was that I was reading. But it's how the corporation must be run, according to the bylaws, and according to the laws of the state of California, wherein the corporation is formed as a non-profit California corporation. Now, Karen kept complaining and whining, and so I had Annie write her a check out of our own personal account. And I know that I will never be reimbursed for that check. It was $500. I know that I'll never see a penny of it. She then sent another great big wad of expenses, and I said, "What are you doing? If we don't have the money, and I told you that I've frozen the funds until it can be determined whether your accusations are true or not, why are you racking up expenses?" "Well, I have to do this, and I have to do that." By the way, several months earlier, I had approved and told her to send out a fundraising letter, which, to my knowledge, to this day, she has not done. In the meantime, she sent me checks and cash donations in the amount of just over $1,600. Those were not deposited until the audit on the bank account and the funds were done. I can tell you with absolute 100% assurance, and anybody's welcome to inspect the account anytime they want to, provided that they are an officer or a member of the board of directors or a member in good standing of the Constitution Party, but you have to come here to do it. or attend any one of the meetings of the board of directors, and I'm going to try to have one this month. And when that's decided, I will let you know, and if you wish to attend, you may. Aaron Russo never misappropriated or stole one single penny. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Russo is a millionaire. He's a millionaire many times over. He doesn't have to steal anybody's money. And I'll tell you something else. All of you out there who belong to the Constitution Party are people just like me who don't have a lot of money. And you donated $1, $5, $10, sometimes $15 or $20, very seldom, but sometimes $25, and there was a few $50 and maybe a $100 donation. Over all the time that we've been in existence, there has never been a lot of money in the Constitution Party. Most of the money that we have had in the Constitution Party was spent by Karen Scarborough. The rest was spent by full-page ads in the Philadelphia, or the I think it's the Philadelphia Observer, in magazines like Backwoods Home, in Liberty, and many others. These are expensive. We had to pay phone bills for 800 numbers, which are expensive when people make a lot of calls. We had to pay for stamps and stationery and all kinds of other things. And all this time, Aaron and I never spent a nickel on ourselves. And yet we're the ones who donated our time, created the party, built up the membership, unselfishly traveled and spoke and represented the Constitution Party and helped to build the coalition, which is called Cure Now, which is, by the way, the only hope that we have. And these people are accusing us of stealing funds. Well, we didn't. And during this time of studying the bylaws, I discovered that a convicted felon cannot hold an office in the Constitution Party, and I so informed Karen Scarborough of that fact. I then got a call from a woman named Sharon Ford in Colorado, wanting to know why I was withholding funds from Karen Scarborough. And by the way, I'd just written her another check for, I believe it was $500, out of the Constitution Party account. And at that time, all the funds were deposited. Everything that I'd been holding back, because the audit was finished and we had found no discrepancies whatsoever. I told Sharon Ford what the whole problem was and why I had not deposited any money, and I told her that as soon as the audit was complete and the funds were deposited and all the checks had cleared, then I would be able to continue on as usual. But I told her that Karen Scarborough was a convicted felon and could not hold office in the Constitution Party. During this time, I'd received a fax from Karen Scarborough saying, "Turn over full control of the party to me, or I and Sharon Ford will resign." Well, that was fine with me. I accepted their resignations on the spot. Sharon Ford, I found out, was misrepresenting herself as the national director of the Constitution Party, a post to which she had never been appointed. I also found out that she was misrepresenting herself to people as the treasurer of the Constitution Party, a post to which she had also never, ever been appointed. I later found out, and this wasn't too long ago, because I lost all communications with these people once they had delivered their resignations to me. And I have both of their resignations, signed by them, dated the 19th of July. I then found out at a later date, not too long ago, folks, that they had opened a bank account in the name of the Constitution Party, and all of you who have been sending donations and checks to join the Constitution Party, they were taking your donations and putting them in this bank account, which does not belong to the Constitution Party. They were diverting your funds. In other words, stealing your funds, making you think you were joining the Constitution Party and donating to the Constitution Party when, in fact, you were not. It is fraud, clear and simple, and I have discussed this with the U.S. Attorney here in this area. These people are in deep trouble. They have also stated that they have accepted over 900 acres of land as a donation, clearly against the FEC rules for political parties, especially political parties that have not been recognized by the FEC as legitimate political parties, which includes the one founded by us. We would never have accepted anything like that. It's clearly unlawful, illegal, and in fact is a felony, a federal felony, which is big time. They have now sent out a fundraising letter to get money from all of you without telling you that they are not a part of the Constitution Party anymore and still using the name the Constitution Party. This also constitutes clear-cut fraud. And many of you have fallen for it. Unfortunately. It's not your fault. They misrepresented themselves. They've also sent out notices that they own the trademark for the Constitution Party. And that is a lie. I'm holding in my hand the application for trademark registration on principal registrar for the mark Constitution Party. It says to the Commissioner of Patents and Trademarks, Aaron Russo, blah, 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 the above identified applicant is adopted and is using the collective mark known in the accompanying specimens used to indicate membership in a political party and requests that the mark be registered in the United States Patent and Trademark Office on the principal register established by the Act of July 5, 1945. The rest of this is all legalese, but it is signed by Aaron Russo, 72294. I have here, where is it? Somewhere here. Oh, here it is. I have here in my hands trademark application serial number 74/555,891, filed August 1st, 1994, Mark Constitution Party, class number 200, my docket number 3656. We were represented by the law offices of Harris and Zimmerman, attorneys at law, Oakland, California. We also filed with the Internal Revenue Service for the status of nonprofit organization. I believe it's 501c6. A lawyer in Los Angeles filed all the paperwork. It sometimes takes a year or two to get approval for nonprofit corporation status from the Internal Revenue Service. Ladies and gentlemen, we have not received anything back from them yet. But in order to open a bank account, we had to have an employee identification number. So Aaron called the Internal Revenue Service and got an employer identification number in case we ever had to employ anybody and to satisfy the requirements of the Bank of America. So Sharon Ford and Karen Scarborough have defrauded you. They are not members of the Constitution Party, nor do they hold any office in the Constitution Party. The term Constitution Party is trademarked by this Constitution Party, by Aaron Russo. We have filed for nonprofit status and have not received a determination by the Internal Revenue Service as yet. The funds held in the bank account by Sharon Ford and Karen Scarborough have been stolen from those of you who have donated. And if you have donated any funds to the Constitution Party at all, since about the middle of June, your money is in their bank account because I have not received one single penny of it. If you donated to the Constitution Party any time before then, and your check has never been cashed, it has been lost in the mail. You see, I could never embezzle or steal or take any funds from the Constitution Party if I wanted to. In the first place, I don't have a bank account. In the second place, all checks are made out to the Constitution Party and have to be deposited in the account of the Constitution Party. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've learned something tonight. I think some people are going to go to jail, and I think they're going to go to jail real quick. Good night, and God bless you all.
if you want to love her. Oh, do anything you ask me to. If you want another kind of love, oh, wear my little mask for you. If you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger, here I stand. I'm your man. If you want a boxer, I will step into the ring for you. If you want a Jewish doctor, all on the cover, if I answer you. If you want a drive, oh,